Okay, thanks very much, Terry, and good morning, everyone. So as Terry said, I'm from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. I always get that mixed up because in French and in English there's a shift in the letters. And basically, we have been contributing the domestic support data for the agriculture sector to GTAP for a number of years. The reason we want to, in particular, talk about this, discuss this with you this morning, is because there has been a significant change in the way this data has been collected. So for those of you who are not, who have not had a chance to be very familiar with the domestic support data, I will describe to you a little bit about what this PSE is. This is our producer support estimate. Previously known as this producer subsidy equivalent, when it was politically correct to talk about subsidies in agriculture, but now the preferred word is support. So if none of you tell my bosses, I will try to continue to translate some of these terms for you. So what is this PSE then? This is a bit of a mixed animal. It's made up of two principal components. There is a part of the support estimate that measures market price support, and market price support is essentially something that tries to give you some sort of idea of what the impact of policies, the indirect impact are of policies that are affecting the price that the producer receives. And I make this distinction with the other part of the PSE, which is the budgetary support, which is actually the dollars that is actually directly given by the government to producers. So one is an economic concept or an estimate, the market price support, and the other one is you can think of more like something like accounting for the expenditures that are actually made by the government. Okay, so as you see on the slide, this is measured at the farm gate, so this is at the producer level. And we are trying to essentially include all the policies coming from government that have an impact on producers. And this irrespective, and we're not so concerned about what the objectives or the impact on farm income or environment. We're concerned about measuring the policy effort, that is to say, how much is being done by governments. And I'll try to expand a bit on this as we go on in the presentation. Then it'll be easier to see what the distinction I'm trying to make. Okay, so what is this information? You know, is it reliable? Where does it come from? The OECD is a 30-member country organization and covers mainly the developed countries. And we have, as part of our annual monitoring exercise in the agriculture sector, a commitment with our member governments to fill out a questionnaire. And this essentially comes through official channels. So this is generally officially publicly available government data. Okay, so presumably the most impeccable, reliable sources you can find out there. That's the idea. And then we, in addition to the 30 member countries in the OECD, we also cover a number of significant non-OECD members. And just to cite a couple of examples, China is Brazil. So in terms of the, even though we don't have a big coverage in the numbers of countries around the world, when you're talking about support to the agriculture sector, we are covering quite a large percentage, I would say, certainly more than 90% of the support that's provided to agriculture producers around the world. Okay. Right. So I think I can go fairly quickly over this. This is all fairly obvious information. Why do we collect this information? It's to be able to track the level of support that's been provided, to have a time series, and to be able to compare across countries. And of course, in OECD, we're an organization that is interested in policy analysis and how governments are doing in terms of improving the efficiency of their policies to meet the various objectives that they have. But the PSE exercise, the data that I'll be speaking to you about this morning is just about covering what support is provided. The impact of that support, the economic impact on income, et cetera, that you need to consider with the addition of analytical tools, GTAP being one of them, of course. That's the main purpose of our discussion this morning. Okay. Just very quickly, some people ask, well, what is the difference between your producer subsidy estimate and the aggregate measure of support that is often cited in the WTO negotiations? There is a very important difference. What is done at the WTO is, they negotiate, and they're lawyers, and they're negotiating on numbers that have been decided for a base period, 86, 88, is it? And then there is a level of reduction that comes down from that. So there's a fixed base period notion there in the WTO with the lawyers. At the OECD, this we're measuring support as it evolves every year. So that's a very important distinction to make, I think. The other important distinction is we're trying to be fairly complete in essentially measuring all the support that's measured. The WTO is a pretty partial measure. I won't get into that because that's not a topic for today's discussion, but it's an important distinction to keep in mind. Okay, so as I said before, two main components in the PSE, the market price support and the payments. And I will concentrate essentially on the payments because this is the only part that we incorporate into the GTAP database. I think that you probably realize right away that the GTAP database and model, being a trade model, you have tariffs in there. And that is one of the big components of market price support. In many countries, it's actually the most important part. Perhaps not in OECD countries, but certainly non-OECD countries. So the only part of the PSE that's in the GTAP database are the payments. Just a little bit of a nuance here. Budget revenue foregone, for example, tax credits, reducing the price of subsidies, that's also counted. Okay. Just very quickly, three-year averages of the distribution of support by member country in the OECD, and only to very briefly say that there is quite a wide range of variation from Australia and New Zealand on the left-hand side with the lowest levels of support. By the way, percent PSE is just the dollar amount, the monetary value of the support divided by the value of farm receipts at the farm gate level, okay? And then the highest levels of support in the countries on the right, notably Japan, Korea, Switzerland, Norway, and Iceland. And these countries typically have very high levels of support for two reasons. They have, like many of the OECD countries, a number of programs that give budget money directly to producers, but they also tend to have the highest tariffs as well, and this is captured in our market price support element. And so in the case of Japan, for example, that very high number can mostly be accounted by rice. Okay. Very quickly, this is a very long list, but just to let you know the kinds of categories that we are using in our PSE classification. And this is quite a lot. This is something that changed about 3 years ago. And the key points about this list, I won't go through everything there, just to say that at the second category, payments based on output, doesn't require any explanation. That's the simplest one to think about, and particularly in the GTAP context where industries or commodities are separated out. That's the easiest to think about. When you go down the list, though, you're going to notice that we're moving further away from the notion of commodity output. And so, for example, if you go down to about halfway down the list, we now are facing payments based on historical criteria so the number of the area, the animals, its revenue or income. And this is some good examples of these kinds of payments are, for example, the single producer, single producer payment. If there's somebody here from the EU that can correct me, please do. In the European Union, this is their major, their flagship farm program, the production flexibility contracts in the US. And the idea here is that these payments are given on the basis of some historical calculation. They don't require you in the current year to produce anything in particular. So it's very difficult when you start starting to think about, well, difficult, it's more complex. When you start to think about, well, how do I put this in my economic model, in GTAP, for example, which is based on commodities, where do I put that? Do I put that in wheat? Where exactly, right? And then down at the very bottom of the list, payments that are based on non-commodity criteria. This is not even agriculture anymore. This, by the way, is a very tiny category in terms of the amount of support that's in there, but you see stone hedges, buffer strips, et cetera. Obviously, you don't want to put these sorts of things in the GTAP database. I don't, not to my knowledge, I don't think you have a an industry that's called stone hedges. So that's the purpose of this kind of classification, is to try and give us enough detailed information about how programs work, at what level they're going to affect the producer decision. So is it an input base? Is it an output base? That's fairly obvious. But even on an input base, well, which commodity is it? You're giving it to fertilizer. Obviously, it's going to crops, but which crops, all right? And these are questions that we have to deal with when you when we want to put this information into the GTAP database. Okay. Right. So I'm not going to go into detail on this. This is something that you'll see in the GTAP documentation if you are at all interested in the detail, and I think Badgery will go more in detail on this. But I've divided this, the information then into single commodity transfers. This is just a sample table. I don't know how to work this, so it's okay. It's fine. Basically, here you'll see that I have some example commodities, wheat, rice, grain, et cetera. And these are the payments essentially on output. There's some on land. I'll talk about that a little bit later. But these are actually payments that we can actually say have been defined by the government and are given to production of specific commodities. And I'll try to speed up a bit here because I think my time is running out. So this is the easy stuff. The hard stuff is this. Now we have these payments that we want to allocate to capital, land, and labor, and all factors in GTAP, and Badgery will go over this. But I will continue here. What's it? That's okay. Thanks, Terry.
It's
I'm
kind of
technologically challenged here. Okay. This is just a bit of history. I don't think we need to go into this right now. But just a bit of a final thought here. I'm trying to tell you that the PSE database is a good database. Obviously, I work there, and my job depends on it. It's not a perfect database. We're always looking for improvements. The reason we want to highlight this morning is because there has been this rather big change in the way the classification has been done in the last few years, and this has implications for how we incorporate this into the GTAP database. So Badgery will go into this in the next presentation. The translation for this, for those of you who don't read French, is roughly the best is the enemy of the good. Oh, here we go. Do we have time for some questions?
Just clarification. Mm-hmm. Clarification questions at this stage, and then we'll hear from Badri, and then we'll have a bit more of a discussion on domestic support. So any clarification questions? No? Okay. I will hand it over to Badri then.